This is the Do Weekly Podcast, a weekly challenge podcast for small business owners
by small business owners.
I'm one of your hosts, Alex Vasquez.
And I'm the other host, Natalie MacLeese.
And welcome to episode
11?
12.
12?
12.
You're right, it is 12.
It is 12. We finally did a thing 12 times. One dozen times. And the next time we do it, it'll be a baker's dozen times. I think we have a lot to be proud of because it turns out that doing a podcast is a lot of real work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work.
I told you.
That is not what you said when I asked you if you wanted to do a podcast.
What did I say?
You said, sure, that's a great idea. You didn't say, oh, it's going to be a lot of work.
That's true. How do you think we're doing?
I think we're doing pretty well.
You don't have to be perfect. You just have to get started. And someone smarter than myself made that as a quote. Like, you can get it on
you
a shirt.
You and your quote.
You can get it on underwear.
I don't think anyone
Which reminds
that
me, we have
underwear.
A new host. Underweardepot.com, where you can buy the finest underwear with your favorite quotes on it. No?
That's
okay.
Not a thing.
That's not a thing, and that's not an actual sponsor. But if you would like to sponsor us, and I'm not sure why you would, talk to Natalie.
Yeah, don't talk to Alex.
Don't talk to Alex, unless you're a glutton for punishment.
Unless you're looking for weird quotes to print on underwear, in which case, talk to Alex.
It's a scalable business model.
Okay.
You know what? I don't want to talk to people who don't have the vision, okay?
All right.
So for people with vision and money to burn and a lot of bad sense, let's talk after the show. Before we get into what this week's challenge is, you and I need to talk about last week's challenge.
We do.
How'd you do?
We might have bitten off a little more than we could chew.
Listeners, Natalie and I failed to complete last week's challenge, which was create an educational product.
That turns out to be a lot of work to try to get done in a week.
What did you run up against? Well, actually, before I ask you what you ran up against, this basically means that we both get cookies for not finishing this thing.
Okay.
But this also means that we need to do a callback to last week's challenge. We still have to do it.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
we can't not do it.
I'm going to finish.
Okay, well, all right, so maybe we don't get cookies then.
If anyone who listened actually finished it in a week, I'm super impressed.
Well, I would like to know what they did, for sure. So if you did finish it, unlike us, please let us know. We'll feel shitty. You know, we didn't accomplish anything. But we'll feel better knowing that someone did.
But I do feel like I got a really good start on it.
Well, what are you trying to do?
I decided to make an ebook.
Oh.
I would offer for download on my website for free in exchange for someone signing up for my newsletter. And it is a little guide to help clients get ready for a website project. So it's divided into 5 sections. There's questions about you for the client to answer about themselves, questions about your project, questions you should ask whoever you're going to hire, a section on tips, and then another section that I forgot what it was.
That's great. That would be something that I would totally guide people from the Small Business Development Center or, you know, anyone who's like an early stage business owner or, you know, someone who's just researching their first foray into, you know, an online presence. Like I would send them to a resource like that.
I think it's going to be really helpful. I took time this week to brainstorm the idea, to think about all the different things I could make, narrow it down to that idea. Because I do see that problem a lot when clients are approaching me. They're not really sure how a website project works. They're not really sure what to expect. They're not really sure how to get prepared for it. So I think it'll be helpful just from that point of view because I know that I'm solving a problem that people have. I got an RFP this week that was completely incomplete. They left out so much stuff that when I sent back my list of questions to fill in the data that they left out, it was an email, but if you had printed it, it probably would have been 3 pages.
Wow.
But they just didn't know the things that I need to know.
That's so many RFPs. Yeah. So many.
Yeah. I think it'll help. And I got all of the content kind of written for all the different sections. What I still have left to do is to put that in some kind of nice format. I want it to be like a nice PDF that you download and can read or print, but I have to get it in InDesign and lay it out and look nice and all that still.
I think that that's a great product.
Thank you.
That, and the reason why I like that is because it's a great way also just even for people who are contacting you directly through the website. It's something that you can provide them during your conversation, or it can be part of the auto responder that goes out to them. What is your experience level in dealing with websites? They say, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you can include that as an attachment and say, yeah. Hey, because you said you're inexperienced, please review this guide and fill it out. And if you think we have something to talk about, let's talk. That's a great way to guide people to the right answer and give them the tools to kind of self-select whether or not they're the right fit for you, but also give them something of value.
I think it'll be a huge help to anyone who needs a website, whether they're going to build it themselves or they're looking to hire somebody to build it.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. To that end, I was going to do an email course. The thing that I find with people is, well, how do I market my site? How do I get more traffic? You know, how do I rank for all these keywords? You know, last year I did this long series of blog posts called Way of the Tortoise. The Way of the Tortoise basically took one concept, how to optimize your website for search. And then it kind of went down into the brass tacks of what you should do, what things are, what the definitions are, what the key concepts are that you should know, why, and how they potentially help you. You know, I wanted to further break that down and turn those blog posts, heavily modify and edit them down to separate emails that I could send to people. And, you know, I was thinking about doing it as an initial email blast to existing clients. Mm-hmm. And also, like you, kind of have that be a resource that people who might be looking for that service, have that be something that they can sign up for and then consume at their leisure.
That makes sense.
Because, you know, that's the thing too. Like with any type of business owner, there's questions that you get all the time. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a digital business like us, or you're a brick and mortar shop, or something in between, right? Like, there's a common set of questions, frequently asked questions for your business. And that's a great place to start with an informational product.
We both have to finish our products.
Are you going to sign up for my product?
Yeah, I'll sign up for your product. Are you going to sign up for my product?
Nope.
That's not very nice.
I will totally sign up for it. But what I was going to say is once you finish it, though, the people at the SBDC, I cannot work with them mm-hmm. because it's a conflict of interest. Yeah. However, I can send them your way. And it's one of those things, I can send them your way, and it's an informational resource. It's something that they get something out of that's actionable. And whether or not they choose to work with you or try to do everything themselves, you know, that's totally up to them.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's a good way to help each other out too. And, you know, that's another thing too, folks. You know, like if you have colleagues or friends who are also in business, try to think of ways that you can collaborate.
Yeah, definitely. I think you can take your business a lot further when you work together.
Sounds like a future podcast.
Future challenge. I guess there's not much to talk about with last week's challenge since neither one of us actually finished.
We managed to talk about a thing for 10 minutes that we didn't finish.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with us.
Impressive. High five.
All right. I'm at a loss, Natalie. I feel despondent. I feel crestfallen and just sad because we didn't do last week's challenge. And
do you also maybe feel a little tired?
Yeah, actually. I feel a little groggy. I want to yawn right now. I'm going to do it.
No, don't, because then you're going to start a whole thing. And
Oh, man.
Now I'm going to have to yawn, and then you're going to have to yawn, and this is going to be the worst podcast to listen to ever.
Look, we've already let people down, and I'm just so tired, and this couch that I'm sitting on is so comfortable. I don't know, Natalie, I feel like I just don't have any energy.
Do you think that might be because you don't get enough sleep?
I was hoping this was going to turn into a 5-hour energy commercial, but I'm going to say that I definitely didn't get enough sleep today. I went to bed around midnight 30. I got up at 6:30. I brushed my teeth really quick, threw on some clothes, and I went for a run. I have not taken a nap yet.
Do you plan to take a nap later today?
Yes, but I'm tired. Are we going to talk about taking naps? please tell me this week's challenge.
Lead up to a challenge ever. People are like, what is the challenge?
If there's anyone still listening, this week's challenge is take a nap.
No, it's get enough sleep.
Oh, well. All right. I'm on board. I like this.
I haven't been getting enough sleep lately.
Why?
Bad habits.
Bad habits. So I was under the impression that you're a very productive morning person. You're very mindful with your time. You do stuff with it. Is that not the case anymore?
I think I have gotten into the habit of staying up too late and looking at screens too late.
Yep.
Too much blue light.
Too much blue light.
And then I go to bed and I can't fall asleep. And then when my alarm goes off in the morning, I'm like, oh, no, really? Is it time to get up?
Bad habits creep in on us, right?
They do.
Just because we get over a thing doesn't mean that bad habits won't come back. And for a long period last year, as you know, I made a concerted effort to wake up early.
Way too early.
As fuck. Early as fuck. 4:30 a.m. to about 5 a.m., I would get up. And at first, I was like, man, this sucks. I'd get up, I'd force myself out of bed. I'm like, well, what do I do? I started doing these yoga routines. I'd do meditation. I would read. I'd get ready for my day. I would eat. And then by the time I'd start working at 9 a.m., I'd done so much stuff.
Yeah.
But I was also going to bed at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, which pretty early, but it was glorious.
Still, that's probably still not quite enough sleep, though.
Well, look. You go to bed at 9:30. I mean, you go to bed at 9:30, about 4:30 or 5. I mean, that's like 8 hours, I'd venture to say.
No, it's like 7.
No. Look, Natalie. Look, 9:30 to 10:30 to 11:30 to 1:30 to 3:30 to 4:30. That's a lot of hours.
It's not 8.
It's 7-ish. Look, I don't math well, but it's 7 hours. I'll take 7 hours. I think 7 hours is good. 7-8 hours is fine. You shouldn't get less, though.
No, you really shouldn't. And I think a lot of people do. I think especially business owners, because you feel like, oh, I've got to get all this stuff done. And it's easy to take it into bad habits and be looking at your phone.
Yeah.
And answering emails and taking care of your website and writing your informational product.
Yeah, yeah.
And just doing all kinds of, because there's always something to be done. So I think you have to figure out a way to draw a line where you just say, there's always going to be something to be done. My to-do list is never going to be clear. So I have to find a way to live with that and to take care of myself appropriately, even though I have that going on.
I feel like part of this is definitely prioritizing sleep, which is something that you and I are both, I feel, probably lacking. Like, we don't make space in our mind to say, we are going to bed by this time, and it's important.
And to shut off screens an hour before that, and to make sure that you're having some kind of downtime before you go into bed.
Yeah.
I have a little bedtime routine I like to do, and I haven't been doing it, because I've been staying up too late, and then I don't want to take an hour to do a routine and be up even later.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
I know that when I was getting up early and whatnot, and then going to bed earlier, that I was doing artwork or I was reading. Like, I didn't have a routine. Like, I would just kind of draw or read until I was starting to get sleepy, which was like around 9:30, and, you know, brush my teeth, go to bed, and also commit my code. Brush your teeth, commit your code, go to bed. But maybe we're saying that you should just take your ass to bed and don't commit that code. You can wait until tomorrow. But your computer crashes. Womp, womp, womp.
All right. Maybe commit your code. It's going to take 10 seconds.
True. So, so I'm wondering how it is that you got to that point where, you know, you just kind of started slipping and subsequently not getting enough sleep. So I want to know, for you, how do you think you got there again? And how do you think it's affecting you now?
That's a really good question. I think I got there just a little bit at a time. Just started staying up a little bit later and then a little bit later. And ideally, I would like to be in bed by 10.
Yeah.
So I can get up early and have my whole morning routine without being really tired.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like just suddenly one day I blew it off. My bedtime just started creeping up later and later, and I started doing things that weren't appropriate pre-bedtime activities.
I think we can spend some time talking about some good activities or just things to do to kind of decompress from your day.
Yeah.
I know that I will definitely find myself doing work at night. You know, like I'll just think about something that I know that I'm supposed to do tomorrow, and I'll just kind of get a jump start on it, you know,
yeah,
quote unquote, which is not good. I'm definitely not reading as much as I was, which is not good.
I'm 10 books behind on my book challenge for this year.
Oh, no, Natalie. You better catch up next week.
10 books next week.
You need to read 10 books next week.
That is not.
Aren't you a speed reader?
That's not the challenge.
But aren't you a next week's challenge? Read 10 books in a week. Now, I don't know about you, but something that I find interesting is, again, going back to, you know, when I was getting up really early, you know, I would take like a 15 or 20 minute nap in the middle mm-hmm. of the day, like yeah. around 2-3 o'clock, I would just do that. And I was fine afterward. Mm-hmm. Like I still went to bed at the same time. You know, I feel like if we were really researchy based podcasters, we would totally look up information on this and see if there's a correlation.
You still need that intern.
Yeah. By the way, if you're a human being looking to not get paid
and you like doing research
maybe you're an out-of-work PhD. You should kind of...
That's shooting pretty high for an unpaid intern.
Look, I don't know what reality
maybe
is.
You're a freshman in college.
Whatever. We're fighting now. We're fighting.
We're always fighting.
We're always fighting. I don't know what the figures are or what or if any correlation exists between napping during the day. But I feel like that was an important thing, and I did it, and I still felt productive. I don't feel like it ruined my productivity. I feel like it kind of gave me the boost to keep going and finishing out the rest of my day. So mm-hmm. I go to bed at like 9:30 or 10.
No, that makes sense. Napping is really good for you. It's really healthy.
I know in general, I feel like I know a lot of people who just don't get enough rest. And
it can be hard sometimes. You get really busy and then, you know, it falls to the bottom of the priority list, and it really shouldn't. I think it's more important than most people realize.
What are some things that you did to try to, like, I guess, prioritize sleep before you fell off the wagon?
I had a set bedtime.
Okay. A set bedtime. Like
10 p.m.
Okay.
Try to be in bed by 10 p.m. And then starting at 9, I would start my little bedtime routine, which included having a warm beverage of some kind.
A warm beverage, okay.
It didn't have caffeine.
Yeah, no caffeine.
Not a cup of coffee or anything. But, you know, a nice chamomile tea or even just hot water with lemon. If I was feeling fancy, it could be hot cocoa. Kind of sit down and quickly review my goals for the day to check in on how I'm doing. Because, you know, I always have goals for everything. And then to do some self-care things, like making sure that I wash my face and brush my teeth and all those kinds of things that you should do as part of a bedtime routine. And then to go to bed. And I had some little yoga stretches I would do once I was in bed that were, it was like a little getting ready for sleep yoga routine, like specifically made to be done in bed. And then I would just read for a while until I would fall asleep. And then I also had a little morning routine where I would wake up, have a hot cup of water, journal for half an hour or so, exercise, shower, eat breakfast, meditate. And by the time I finished all that, it was 9 a.m. and ready to start work. And I was really focused and energized and refreshed.
And that's a lot of great stuff to do for yourself. And of course, you'd feel you know, ready to tackle the day.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of self-care based stuff to do. And I was doing a number of those things too. Like, you know, I'm not a journaling type person, but you know, I would wake up, I had this series of yoga routines that I would do, you know, just for my lower back and everything, which always kind of bothers me. So I would do that. I would get out. I'd do like a walk. Like I would walk a few blocks around my neighborhood. I would make sure that I ate something. And, you know, I would either read or listen to a podcast or something like that. I wouldn't look at any screens or anything like that. I was very mindful to not do that. So, you know, not looking at the phone, not looking at those things. And also, guess what? I felt really energized too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of amazing what happens when you have the time to take care of yourself. Now, I feel like I get as much sleep as I should get. I generally usually get 7.5 hours of sleep. And I'm okay with that amount. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that I'm not getting up and doing as much. Like I will wake up and I will lay in bed. I'll go get my phone. Then I'll go lay back down in bed. You know, like, oh, what happened on Instagram? Oh, what happened in the news? You know, something like that. Not good. And yeah. Then I would be in a rush to get ready. And not because I have to drive anywhere. And I think that's maybe something I take advantage of. But, you know, I'm just being lazy. I'm just kind of laying down in bed. I'm not getting up. That morning routine is shot. I'm not getting the most out of the morning that I could. And it's not to make it a thing where I get the most out of it. It's just to take care of myself. And I'm not giving myself the space to do that because I'm just not getting up and I'm having to rush through things because I have to.
But I think if laying around in bed and looking at Instagram and stuff on your phone is something that you like doing, maybe you could just save that for Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And that can be, you know, your version of reading the New York Times in bed or something.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I will tell you one routine that doesn't necessarily have to do with sleep, but something that I enjoy is I started ordering the Sunday edition of a newspaper. And for the last month, for the last 6 weeks, the papers come on Sunday. I will pull a little chair out into the patio area and I will just read it and I'll have coffee. You know, I'm not like a huge coffee drinker, but I have to tell you, that's become my favorite little thing that I do.
Oh, you're such an old man.
I feel like it. I'm missing a pipe. I just need my grandfather's old pipe and, you know, just read the newspaper and stuff.
You do need a pipe.
I don't, you know, I have managed to not form any like deadly cancer causing habits so far. So I would like to, you know, I would like to keep along that path. So thanks for recommending death, Natalie.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that I'm trying to kill you off, Alex.
Yeah, do you want a new host?
Do you want a new host,
someone who's a little more dynamic? Is that what you want?
Well, I gotta get a new host somehow.
Whatever, Natalie. So, dear listener, your responsibility is to create routines that allow you to get an adequate amount of sleep. Get the goal of 8 hours of sleep, but also, you know, try to build a simple routine.
Let's say at least 7.
Let's say at least 7 hours of sleep. Minimum 7.
Everyone needs 8.
Maximum 20.
Maybe maximum of 9. I mean, that's a lot of sleep. It's also not good for you to sleep too much.
Look, we're not experts here. We don't know what we're doing, but we know
We're not sleep scientists.
No, we're not, but we play them on the internet.
We play them on podcasts.
Yeah, we play them on podcasts. But so get 7-8 hours of sleep. If you manage to get 9, that's baller status right there. But just create simple routines in the morning and at night that help you make the most out of those hours. The habits that you do towards the end of the day get you to a point where you're ready for bed. So like, you know, maybe no screen time. An hour before.
That is actually one of the biggest causes of having trouble sleeping is looking at screens before bed.
And which is why you shouldn't sleep with your phone or your iPad or anything. Like I've removed those from my room.
Yeah.
So those are not within arm's reach. I have to get up and go get them.
And like I use a Kindle to read, but I use a Kindle Paperwhite, so it's not backlit. So I'm not looking at a backlit screen. And backlit screens are really the problem. Like I guess the Kindle, it's still a screen, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's that ebook screen and not the
No, that makes sense. Screen. So yeah, I mean the idea is reduce those distractions and so reduce screen time, no TV, no phone, no iPad or anything. Read something.
Good sleep hygiene.
Good sleep hygiene, yeah. This type of stuff is like scraping your tongue.
Ew.
Yeah, it's gross. Anyway, find good habits that get you to sleep on time. And then in the morning, you know, find maybe a few simple things to do in the morning that help energize you. Whether, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's, you know, making a cup of coffee. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but maybe that's your thing. Then hey,
do
that.
If you like it.
If you like it.
Going.
Do it.
I say go for it.
Maybe another thing that you can do is read. Read something. Read a book that's been sitting and piling dust for a while.
Like everyone has those.
I have 4 books that I need to read. And I need to finish. One of the books I need to finish is Profit First. Then there's another book. I finally got around to buying the 4-Hour Workweek. Which I kind of feel might have been a mistake purchase.
Yeah, I read that so long ago. I wonder how well it holds up.
Well, there's a new edition. I just picked it up. We'll see. But we'll see. I mean, but reading something, whether for education or enjoyment, I think is a huge part of it. And I mean, if you're like me, your whole body just hurts all the time. I'm 41 years old and I feel like my body's falling apart. But, you know, like having that morning simple, like a simple yoga routine in the morning has been huge. And it's just something I would watch a YouTube video on and just kind of follow along. So I'll include a link to that. And there's like this morning practice, which is good for my lower back. So I should do that like all the time. And I don't. And I wake up stiff.
Did you feel better when you were doing it?
Yes. It loosened me up. And the more I did it, the more I could feel myself relax.
Yeah.
Into the day, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's just now that I don't do it, I can tell. Like I because I'm stiff all the time in the morning. And it takes me like half the morning to really get into everything. Definitely. Yeah.
Isn't it funny how hard it is for us to do things that we know make us feel better?
I'm sure there's science around that.
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there's science around that. I feel like we need a cognitive scientist or psychologist or someone who studies this stuff. If you're a senior in high school and you know stuff about habits, please email Natalie at the Do Weekly Podcast. com. Don't email Alex at Do Weekly Podcast because my email still doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Because you can't make it work.
Oh my gosh. I feel like this is not on me. I have reset that password for you at least a dozen times.
You know what, Natalie? When someone says it's not their fault, 8 times out of 10, or like 8 times out of 2 rather, it is their fault. So anyway, thank you for listening to this week's podcast. There's a lot of places where you can listen to our podcast. Where are some of the places that people can listen to the Do Weekly Podcast?
iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, email, and RSS.
And one of our sponsors who helps make this possible is Pantheon Web Hosting, who provides hosting for the Do Weekly Podcast. Thank you so much.
Yes. You know, thank you, Pantheon.
Thank you, Pantheon. Thank you, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. And thank you. Those of you who are downloading this stuff, we're still not sure why you do, but keep doing it.
Yes, please.
Keep doing it. Leave a 5-star review. Let us know what we can do better. Let us know how you're tackling these challenges. Like, are you doing it? We don't know. No one tells us shit. We don't know anything. Okay. No one tells us a damn thing, and I'm really getting sick of it. So stop being a downloader and a non-commenter and comment.
Oh, stop lurking.
Yeah. Stop being a lurker. Stop being that long-time listener, first-time commenter. No. We're 13 episodes, and we're 13 episodes into this thing. I'm sick of this 12. Shit. We're 12 episodes into this thing, and I'm sick of this shit. Okay, I'm sick of my own shit. Okay, that's how sick of things I am.
And also, you should go to sleep now.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to sleep now. So, I'm Alex.
I'm Natalie.
And this is the Do Weekly Podcast. Hooray!
See you next week.
Whether you like it or not. Like, is this recording now?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, Natalie. This is why I get in trouble. Because you never tell me when you're recording. And then I say shitty things. And then you're going to, like, play it. Oh, Alex is a dirtbag.